Welcome to the Monday, January 30th, 2012 edition of the Sands and its Storm Centers Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and I'm today recording from Monterey, California. I'm here at our Sands conference in Monterey and I'll be teaching Security 503 intrusion detection in depth. Let's start with a quick update on SSH brute forcing attacks. These attacks have long ago adopted a scheme that is frequently referred to as reverse brute forcing. Now, instead of hitting just the same account, let's say root, with a large number of passwords, the attacker will try a small number of passwords against a large number of likely account names, hoping that one of them uses a simple password. The goal of a reverse password brute forcing, of course, is to evade any lockout policies that an administrator may have defined. Now, the new twist to SSH brute forcing that we have seen is that instead of using sort of common usernames like root, admin, web server, and so on, the attacker uses the host name of the attacked SSH server and uses the host names or parts thereof as usernames. So, for example, for isc.sans.edu, we would see isc or sans or isc.sans. Now, the reason for this is that a lot of hosting providers will name accounts based on the domain that they are managing. So I think this is what they're after here. And as a comment to the diary notes, Stephen Murdoch, a university at the University of Cambridge, also noted in a recent blog post his observation of this kind of pattern. But let's see what we have in other news. There are now reports about the widespread exploitation of the Windows Media bug that Microsoft fixed in its last patch Tuesday. This was CVE 2012-3, which affects the MIDI driver. Now, the way this would typically be exploited is by the victim opening up a MIDI file that's being offered by a malicious website. And last week, Cisco announced that its IronPort line of devices includes a vulnerable Telnet server. Now, this vulnerability, if it's exploited, that may obtain root privileges. Initially, the vulnerability was actually found in FreeBSD and Linux. There are patches for it available for FreeBSD and Linux. And I'm also not really aware of any modern Linux distribution that would enable Telnet by default. Well, it turns out that these IronPort devices suffer from the same flaw. While there is a patch available for BSD and Linux, at least for some distributions, there doesn't appear to be a patch for these IronPort devices yet. So your best bet is to just turn off the Telnet service if you haven't done so. Incidentally, we are also seeing a spike in Telnet probes last week from a very small set of sources hitting a lot of targets. So it looks like someone is already scanning for vulnerable systems here. And Symantec spotted about 14 different malicious apps in the official Android store. Now, the Android store is less monitored than the Apple App Store. But even though in the past most of the malicious apps were released on alternative sites, now the applications themselves follow the standard scheme that we have seen in a lot of these malicious Android applications. They take a popular game, add some malware to it, and then re-release it. And Facebook is adopting a page from Microsoft's anti-malware playbook and is now starting to use the courts to go after some of the Facebook spammers, in particular those that use clickjacking in order to spread their message. They now file lawsuits against one firm alleging that it violated the CAN Spam Act. Well, that is it for today. So thanks again for listening, and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.